Okay, let's open our Bibles here this morning to the Gospel of Luke. This was part of our daily reading this past week. Luke chapter 11, and I am going to read verses 23 through 28. Luke chapter 11, 23 through 28. I hear pages turning. I see Bibles open. That's a good thing. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Wonderful. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. And here's what God's Word tells us here this morning, starting with verse 23. These are the words of Jesus. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first. As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you. He replied, Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, my prayer this morning is that the words that I speak, first and foremost, will be pleasing to you, that they will reflect the truth of your word. I pray, Lord, also that that these words are transforming in all of our lives, and Father, they may even transform someone from an old creature to a new creation in Christ. Father, I just pray that your will be done, that your Holy Spirit will come upon all of us here this morning and move us in the direction that we need to be moved, the direction towards your truth. To you be the praise and glory, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In this morning's message, there's actually two main points I'm going to try to get across. And I certainly hope in the end I can take those two points and then tie them together. Let me start off by just saying this. It was the fall of 1966, and you remember exactly where you were in the fall of 1966, don't you? I remember where I was. I was going into eighth grade. And when I was going into eighth grade in September of that year, there's always new television programs that come on the air in September. And that year, on NBC, on Monday night at 7:30, was a new program called The Monkees. It was a program, a TV program, by four guys, four young men who was in this rock and roll band in their escapades and their episodes. And it was they were on for 2 years. And I just loved The Monkees. They were very influential in my life. I loved their music. I tried to learn all their songs, and they really encouraged me to play music. They put out a number of different albums, but on their third album, which was an album called The Monkee Headquarters, there was a song on that album called Shades of Gray. And I'm just going to read the chorus to that song. The chorus to that song says this, But today there is no day or night. Today there is no dark nor light. Today there is no black nor white, only shades of gray. I don't know exactly who wrote that song, but I believe they hit the nail on the head. And I can't tell you much about the world back in 1966. I was too young to come up with my own theory about it. But I can tell you in 2012, those words are very true. They ring very true. And I understand secular society moving in that direction, into the direction of shades of gray. In the secular world today, there is no black nor white. There is no dark nor light. In the secular world today, there seems to be only shades of gray. So why is today's world like that? Because the shades of gray mindset doesn't offend anybody. It makes people feel comfortable about themselves. There are no absolutes anymore. And that's good. Let's all just get together and just embrace our shades of gray. In the 21st century, the secular world wants to apply the shades of gray mindset to things spiritual. They're trying to invade the church, trying to invade God's word. After all, their mantra would be this: well, you have your belief system, and I have my belief system, and I'm okay, and you're okay. After all paths lead to God anyways, don't they? You just need to be sincere in what you believe. When it comes to things spiritual, Jesus has a different view. And his view is always right. With Jesus, there are no shades of gray. Everything is black, or it's white. In Luke 11:23, the first verse that I read this morning, I'm going to reread just that verse this morning. Jesus says this: he who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters. Let me kind of give you Mike's slant on that. With Jesus, there is no room for neutrality. You are either with him or you are against him. You either follow him or you don't. You either love him or you don't. He is either your Lord or he's not. You either believe everything he says or you don't. You either gather with him or you scatter without him. With Jesus, there are no fence sitters. With Jesus, there are no shades of gray. But that's not what the world wants to teach us today. The world wants everyone to think that your way of belief, your religion, your faith, whatever that may be, whatever shade of gray that may be, it will work. And in the end, you will be okay. But as believers, let us not forget 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that tells us this: that the God, little g, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So let me ask you this question: who is the God, the little g, who's the little god of this age? It'd be who? Satan, the devil, right? He's blinded the minds of unbelievers. But getting back to Jesus being black and white, the Bible is very clear on the fact that this is what it teaches. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this, he's talking to the Jews, he says that a person is either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. James 4:4 tells us that either you are a friend with the world, if you are a friend with the world, you are an enemy of God. In Matthew 25, verse 46, Jesus says that once we die, the wicked will go away to eternal punishment and the righteous to eternal life. There's no in-between. I'm going to go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 14 through 16. And you don't have to turn there if you just want to listen. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 16. And this is the Apostle Paul writing, and he says this: for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? And what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Five things he mentions there: righteousness and wickedness, light and darkness, Christ and Belial, in other words, Satan, a believer and an unbeliever, the temple of God and idols. When it comes to things spiritual, there is no common ground between one side and the other. There is no compromise. There are no negotiations. There are no shades of gray. Either you gather with Jesus or you scatter without Him. I am convinced that the truth will set you free, but shades of gray never will. In our scripture reading today, back from Luke chapter 11, let me turn back there real quick. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus talks more about shades of gray, and He gives this little story about evil spirit here in verses 24 through 26. And I'm going to talk about that here a little bit more in a minute. But first, it's story time with Pastor Mike. Here's my story. The story goes like this. I was in seventh grade, and in seventh grade, by that age, whatever age that is, 12, 13, I start getting very much an interest in certain things and a disinterest in other things, school-wise. Some subjects I loved, other subjects I didn't like as much. One subject that I loved was science. I loved science, and especially when it came to electricity and electronics. I loved that field in science. Well, that same year, in seventh grade, at St. Winland's Catholic Grade School, my science teacher was a nun. Her name was Sister Caritas. Sister Caritas, that was her name. And it was her first year at St. Winland's Grade School. And I still remember the kids in the school asking her, "Oh, sister, what does Caritas mean?" And she says, "Oh, it means love." You know, someday let me show you the scars on my back, okay? But anyways, let me carry on with the story, okay? But anyways, in the back of the classroom was some tables set up, and on these tables were science projects from previous years that other kids had done. And there was one science project back there on a wooden board. It was about this big, and it was on electromagnetism. But the project didn't work. Something had broken on it. And Sister Caritas asked me this. She said, "Mike, can you get this thing to work?" And I said, "Oh, yes, sister, I could do this." I said, "Let me take it home with me. Let me have it for a couple of days, and I'll bring it back in." And she said, "That would be fine." So I took this project home, and I was real eager to work on it. And so I was on my dad's workbench, and I'm trying to get it to work, I couldn't get it to work. My favorite subject, science, electromagnetism, and I couldn't get the project to work. So I thought I would do the next best thing. It was on this old, really sad-looking piece of wood, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to make this thing look really nice. So my dad had a scrap piece of wood. It was about the same size, and he had it. It was from a project that he had just done, and it was all stained real nice. And so I took all the components off the old project and remounted them on the new one. And when I did, I cleaned them all up, and there was a lot of wires involved. So I took all the wires and I ran them real nice and neat. You know, everything has to go real nice and parallel and at 90 degree angles. You know, it looked great, and different color wires represented different things. And then, to top it off, I got out my Dymo label maker. Are you with me? Dymo label, you know, you twist the dial and you put the green tape or the blue tape or the red tape in, and you squeeze it, and out comes a letter, and you can make labels for things, and then you peel it off the back. I even labeled each one of the components. I said, "This thing looks great." So the next day, I took it in back into school, and I, when it came science class, I had it, and I showed it to Sister Caritas, and she said, "Oh, this is great, Michael. Let's put it up in the back of the room. Let's hook it up, and let's see what it does." And I said, "Well, sister, there's one problem." And she said, "Well, what's that, Mike?" And I said, "It doesn't work." And that's when Sister Caritas got this look on her face, and she said this. She got the finger going. "Mr. Owen, I didn't ask you to take it home and make it look pretty. I asked you to take it home and fix it." So what does that story have to do with evil spirits in verses 24 through 26? I am going to tie those two together. The person here in verses 24 through 26, it says, evil spirit comes out of a man. Let's give this man a name, John Doe. The evil spirit comes out of this man, or it could be a woman. And how does that happen? Well, the evil spirit comes out because that person has a vice and they decide to clean up their act. You see, this person once had a serious issue. Let's say John Doe had an issue with adultery, or could have been pornography or excessive gambling or whatever. But they decided to clean up their act, and they now have a change in their life. The vice is no longer a part of their life. Their immorality has been replaced with morality. The evil spirit has been swept out of the house, so to speak. The house has been swept clean. And from the outside, it looks great. So how did John Doe sweep his house? How did he make his house clean? Well, he has undergone a moral reformation in his life. You see, he had the serious sin of adultery, and he just decided one day, I don't want to lead an adulterous lifestyle any longer. Now, something I should have told you much earlier on. John Doe's an unbeliever, okay? Unbeliever. Let's get that straight. But he doesn't want to lead this adulterous lifestyle any longer. Because he realizes, you know what? This was ruining my marriage. And it was breaking apart my family. And he knew that if he continued with this, he could suffer the risk of maybe contracting a venereal disease of some sort. And John Doe thought, you know, it's time to change this, and a time for a change in my moral values in my life. You never know. John Doe might start going to a church after this. And when he goes to church, he might even start putting money in the basket. Or maybe he helps the usher, or maybe he sings in the choir, or maybe he watches the nursery. You see, his house has been swept clean. And now what is he doing? He's doing religious activities. They look great on the outside. But what does Jesus say about a house that is in this condition? What kind of condition is this? One, it's an unbeliever. But it's a house that has undergone a moral reformation, but never a spiritual transformation. Let me borrow some words out of Revelation chapter 3. This is a letter that was a letter to the church at Laodicea. And these are the words of Jesus. And he says this to the church at Laodicea. Quote, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. But you don't realize that you are wretched, and you are pitiful and poor and blind and naked. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and I knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens up the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. You see, John Doe, let's get back to John Doe. John Doe has had a moral reformation, but John Doe has never had a spiritual transformation. His house has been swept clean of the vice that he once had, but he never filled it back up with the presence and the lordship of Jesus Christ. John Doe had a religious experience, but he never had a true salvation experience. He took the project home and made it look good, but he never fixed it. He never fixed it. People like John Doe and the man in this story, Luke chapter 11, they're still not convinced about day or night, about dark or light, about black or white, or even about wrong or right, because they remain comfortable and complacent with their shades of gray. But boy, they look good on the outside. And Jesus teaches that there is even a further danger to having moral reformation without ever having spiritual transformation. Because if our adulterous friend, John Doe, does not inhabit his house with the lordship of Jesus Christ after he sweeps it clean, that evil spirit of adultery, it's going to return. And this time it's going to bring seven more evil spirits with it. If John thinks his life was miserable as an adulterer, just wait, John Doe. If you don't fill it with Jesus, your life is about to get worse. And that, my friends, was the case with the Pharisees. The outward, for the Pharisees, the outward was their only concern. When in reality, it is the inward that saves a person's soul. Let me repeat that. For the Pharisees, the outward was their only concern. Look good on the outside. Do what I do. Obey the Sabbath. Do this. Don't do that. Make sure you put your money in the treasury when everyone's looking. When in reality, it's the inward that saves a person's soul. I assure you, Beech Grove, there are millions upon millions, perhaps even billions of people today. They're trusting in their morality. They're trusting in their goodness. They're trusting in their strict observance of their obligations to save them. And it wouldn't surprise me if these people are sitting in a church this morning on a Sunday morning, and they don't have a clue. How do I know that? I was there. That was me. 40 years of it, sitting right in a church, had all the outward things going for me. Still remember Jim, the day I got saved. Mike, why should God let you into heaven? Here they come. Because I'm a good man. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I go to church. I put money in the basket. I've even ushered. I even do chicken barbecues on Saturday mornings and get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do that. Come on, he's going to have to let me in. And Jim said, if that's what you're relying on, Mike, you're going straight to hell. And you know what? I'm glad he told me that, because I wouldn't be standing in front of you today if he hadn't. I assure you that there are people that were just like me, trusting in their observance of obligations day after day, Sunday after Sunday, and trusting in that to get them to heaven. Their hope is in the outward. Look what I look like. Look what I do. Their hope is in the shades of gray, because they have never known the truth that sets them free and be transformed on the inside. As I said earlier, the truth will set you free, but shades of gray never will. So I ask you, are you on the fence? Are you on one side or the other? Are you lukewarm? Are you one of those people who, you know, I think I'll show up at church on a Sunday morning because that's where I need to be? Or are you a person who truly has trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And you know the truth, and the truth has indeed set you free. Folks, I spent 40 years of my life, and any one of those days, the Lord could have taken me just like that. And for all the days that I drove my automobile under the influences of alcohol and other illegal substances, praise the Lord that I'm still here today. And I would have died and gone to hell. And I would have said, oh, wait a second. I can't go to hell. I'm a good husband. I flip chicken barbecues, God. And I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to do that for your church. And he would say this, depart from me, Mike. I never knew you. It's this simple, folks. Luke 11:23. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Everybody's going to leave this church building this morning. Either you're going to be a gatherer, or you're going to be a scatterer. What side are you on? I know a lot of you. I know a lot of you are gatherers. Some of you I don't know for sure. My prayer is this. Everyone who walks out these doors here this morning will be gatherer, and we'll all be on the same playing field. Amen? Amen. It's either black or white. It's either wrong or right. It's either day or night. Or it's either dark nor light. Because, my friends, there are no shades of gray when it comes to Jesus Christ. Let's go to God in prayer.